Mike here. Quick note. If you enjoy listening to Elise and I break down episodes and films on this podcast, you should know we have an entirely separate podcast through Patreon. There we break down New York City-based rom-coms like When Harry Met Sally, You've Got Mail, Hitch, Trainwreck, Bros, and many more to come.
I think that we should yell at children more often. Not parents. Parents, be nice to your kids. But the rest of us should sometimes take children out to task a little.
I never yelled at a child, but I did have an arch nemesis who was like 8 years old. Like, hearing you talk about it, I'm like, well, then why would they do all that for just that moment? But then you think about it, and if they didn't, it would look like the movies I made in high school with my friends. We're really, really concerned about the bottom line of Bros.
I really am. I feel like we've already found ways they could have saved money on the budget.
Right.
If they just would have asked us about it.
For $4 a month, you get 3 to 4 episodes monthly covering a rom-com, and we're doing some fun bonus content as well. You can find us on the Patreon app by searching We Couldn't Help But Wonder, or through our website, wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com. Hope you join us there.
Elise Castle.
Mike Jensen, you are you. I thought I'd try something new, but it didn't work.
I like that. It's a nice thing you've said to me.
Thank you.
So here we are with
Season 1, Episode 11.
The Drought.
And we are both healthy.
We are both healthy.
We are both healthy. My silky smooth tenor is back.
Cheer. I like the tenor. Okay.
That's me.
Okay.
Not you.
Am I a mezzo-soprano?
Yeah, you're like a baritone, okay. Maybe.
I was told that I'm a baritone with an extended range.
Ugh.
Snap. So this is The Drought. It first premiered August 16th, Happy Birthday Madonna, 1998. Directed by Matthew Harrison. He directs the next... Funny, it's interesting, because he'll direct the finale as well. So he directed two episodes in a row. Written by Michael Green. Now, fun fact about Michael Green, he was just nominated for an Academy Award for writing the screenplay for Logan.
Look at that.
I know. This is his only Sex in the City, but like this year alone, he did Logan, he did the new Blade Runner, he did Murder on the Orient Express.
Wow.
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff. He's the co-creator of American Gods. He actually co-wrote this with Michael Patrick King and MPK. Let's dive right in, shall we?
We shall. Is there any sort of DVD description?
Oh, there is. Thank you for the reminder.
You're welcome.
It starts off just real good. An accidental emission has Carrie certain that she and Mr. Big will never share a bed again. The last 3 months have Miranda convinced she will never share a bed with any man again. A foray into tantric celibacy leaves Samantha craving old-fashioned sex, and Charlotte's boyfriend would rather be mentally balanced than sexually active.
Okay.
I wonder who writes those. I like it, though.
I think that's going to be the title of my memoir, Accidental Emission.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
So we start, the opening lines are about how New York City's all about sex.
Mm-hmm.
People getting it, people trying to get it, and people who can't get it. No wonder the city never sleeps. It's too busy trying to get laid.
But what I really enjoy is go back and watch these opening moments, because we have some real Foley fun.
Okay.
Here's a fun fact. Basically, if you're an extra on a film or a TV show, you can't make any noise.
Right.
Someone else is going to make that noise later. Basically, if you make any noise, they have to pay you more. Exactly.
Yeah.
So when you watch this opening segment, you have like glasses clinking. You have, I think that someone is smoking a cigarette. All of that is like fully, like someone recorded those sounds later on. So just watch it again. And I don't know why, but the opening moments caught me as really funny. Because you have like a... And like a clink. And like none of that was happening in the moment. It's all done later. Anyways, I just enjoyed that.
Well, and then we get to the point where they're saying that it's, you know, Big and Carrie are now sleeping together regularly.
Yeah, we have a sleeping together montage.
Mm-hmm. In all different ways. And now they're actually sleeping together and sleeping.
Right.
Which is a big deal.
And then one morning.
And then, well, before that, I like the part that they're in bed and he's reading and she's writing. And that just caught me as a like timestamp, because nowadays they would both be laying there playing Candy Crush.
Well, she's a writer.
Right. Or she'd be on a laptop. Right. I mean, I know she has a laptop, but she would have brought it with her. I feel like that's now something people do, too, is just like throw them in their bag, you know, do all that. And then the moment happens where I realized I might be a Carrie. Carrie farts.
She has her accidental emission.
Is that you?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I think it might be worse under there.
Shut up.
So this might be really weird, but here's a fact about me. I hate that word so much.
Fart?
It grosses me out. I don't know why, just the word.
And that was the end of We Couldn't Help But Wonder.
I don't know why that word just grosses me out.
What shall I say for
no,
the
no,
rest
it's
of
fine.
Show?
We can say it. We can say it. They say it in the show over and over again. It's totally okay. But it is a funny moment. I mean, yeah. That's actually a Tina Fey approved fact. That
should
in
I
the
treat
end,
you like my nephew and just say, like, tooted?
That's better. I don't know why. Just the sound of the word, it actually makes me feel kind of ill. It's okay. We're
maybe
gonna
that's
this
why
together.
You don't feel well around me often. All right.
So we have the moment.
Carrie toots.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, the sound is funny. So that same person must be doing sound effects on that toot.
Yeah.
Because it is.
This was a fun episode for whoever is in charge of the noises.
Yeah, it's like an elephant trombone hybrid thing.
And her exit is really, really good. I do want to know if that was SJP under the sheet there, running into the door. I'd like to imagine that it was her and not like a stunt double who was in charge of running into a door.
No, and then she does talk to the camera.
She talks to the camera. There
oh
we go.
My God, I was mortified. You're going to dub that over with her voice. I know it. Taking away my moments.
I always feel so bad that I take out you saying the quotes. We'll leave that one in.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not a Carrie. I would have just stayed.
Well, we're going to get into that. We're going to get into, like, comfort levels and at what point you're comfortable enough with someone that this would not be that big of a deal. So she has her talk to the camera. I also just, like, later as we see her writing and they once again, we have the sound effect and her reaction. Oh, I have to look this up. So I just texted my friend Julia, who her and her friends came up with a word for a moment when you remember something and cringe.
Okay.
And I hope I'm pronouncing
it right. Call it my 20s.
I call it all the time. I probably do it 3 or 4 times a day.
Yeah.
That I look back on a moment and make that reaction that Carrie makes. And they call it, she calls it a fontre. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But I feel like fontre, I feel like there might be another word for that. But we all have those moments that we look back and like cringe.
Yeah.
So she fontres right there.
Okay.
And it's pretty good. Like SJP's reaction is pretty good.
Yeah, that's when she relives her fart.
Yeah,
and it, like the noise, the sound effect, like comes.
And it's obviously it's done in post, but just the timing of it and her reaction is so funny to me. Because once again, I have those moments daily when you think about something you said or something you did, and you go, which is just exactly what her moment is.
Yeah, I do that too. It never involves. If I farted, those moments, I'm just like,
it
another
usually
day.
Involves something that I've said to somebody. Yeah. It usually involves, I made a comment and then later thought, you don't have to say everything you think, Mike. You can keep some of it to yourself.
Yes.
And then we cut to Big and Carrie.
Eating Chinese. They eat a lot of Chinese on
they
the show.
They do eat a lot of Chinese. He likes Szechuan.
And this was actually the first moment that I really liked Big. Because it's when he... Carrie has decided at this moment that she's just going to ignore that the poot ever happened. And he, like, slips a whoopee cushion under her seat, so she sits on it, and they have a good laugh. So he obviously thought about this beforehand. Like, I'm going to make a joke out of this. What's the best way I can come up with, like, talking about this and making it light?
Yeah, my thought on this moment was that this was... So he slips a whoopee cushion, and it's a funny moment. And I really did have the thought of, like, this could have been the end of the situation.
Right.
Like, he
recognized it.
He recognized it.
He invited her over.
He defused the situation.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe it would have been the end, except for... So there's the comment of... there's a moment of relationship when romance gives into reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe it's just the fact that it's paired with the fact or undone by the fact that he then doesn't want to have sex that night.
Right.
That was the first night we slept together and didn't make love.
But maybe he's just like, I don't know, you just had Chinese.
Or maybe you're just tired. This is another thing. So we're really
machine might be on fire tonight.
So this, as we're getting into what we're doing, I mean, obviously the theme of this episode is dealing with reality versus romance, and that in every relationship you get to a place where it's not flowers and hearts, and at some point you get to know someone enough that things are real. And part of that is you're not going to have sex with someone every night that you sleep with them. But I think maybe the timing was not good on his part, that if the diffusing was then undone by him not wanting to have sex that night. Not that he should have to. But.
Right.
So we have Miranda comes along.
Mm-hmm. At the nail salon.
Yeah, they're getting their nails done. And we find out that Miranda hasn't had sex in 3 months.
Calm down,
Miranda. I feel so badly for you,
Miranda. My first thought was, relax.
Yeah. I wonder... Yeah. I don't know how deep we want to go. Yeah, I feel
just
you.
Relax, Miranda.
Just relax, Miranda. It's gonna be okay.
But she's been to Blockbuster quite a bit.
Oh, this is fun. We have a lot of Blockbuster. It gave me some Blockbuster, like, reminiscing a little.
I was like, Blockbuster
sadness.
R.I.P.
Yeah. So Carrie tells Miranda. They have a bit of a conversation about that. I do love the moment of...
You farted. You're human.
I don't want him to know that.
Which is also a very, very early relationship thing, I think, where you're like, I don't want him to know that I'm a person. Like, I have to be perfect. And we're also getting Carrie just in general, that Carrie with Big puts on a very specific persona. And that persona is perfection. Because she thinks that he's the perfect guy with the perfect apartment and everything's perfect. And so she tries to be perfect. Is this, or is it later where she talks about that she finds herself posing in front of him?
I think it's there, maybe.
But I remember that. I remember being in a relationship long ago. And in the beginning...
Once upon a time.
And you find your... I mean, I remember that in the beginning, that you want to be a very specific part of yourself with another person. And I remember thinking like, oh, I totally find myself posing and finding myself like trying to be the cool Mike.
Yeah.
Which I'm in general not.
Well, also, I mean, I remember at 21 or 2, can't remember, dating someone and going out to dinner and, you know, they were like, do you want to have a drink? And I'm like, oh, no, I'm fine. And if you knew me at 21, 22, I was definitely changing myself to appease others. Yeah, and then the question comes up.
How often is normal? Normal is the halfway point between what you want and what you can get.
There's a lot of theories on how often is normal. And yeah, that's I've definitely heard that one. And I think that in the end, I mean, not just... I don't know that normal is a thing.
No, I don't. Number one, I don't think normal is a thing. And number two, I don't think these women are normal.
That's very, very true.
I mean, what is to say what is normal? But I think that these women are such a vision of heightened reality. And they are such an example of like, and it's been said in so many ways, not even about this episode, but just about the way they live, the way they dress, how they're living this New York life, Carrie's apartment.
Right.
Like, nothing about it is realistic.
So none of this is really normal.
It's like one of those things where you just keep saying things out loud so they become, like, true and they make yourself feel better.
We go to yoga.
Yeah, where Carrie's in dance tights.
Carrie's not doing it.
Neither one of them are really doing it. And Carrie's in a leotard and dance tights.
Yeah. And she's kind of just laying around. It's a TV yoga class. No one goes from plow to downward facing dog.
No.
Like, that's not really the flow of yoga. And also just, we have the quote.
And men don't like women to be human. We aren't supposed to fart, douche, use tampons, or have hair in places we shouldn't. I mean, hell, a guy once broke up with me because I missed a bikini wax.
You think that's true?
No. I mean, I think it depends. I think
maybe
that...
Maybe in your 20s, maybe young men, maybe when you're young...
I think women spend so much time, like, getting themselves dolled up for this idea of what they think.
Yeah, and there is talk about how, like, you know, getting the hair removed from where there shouldn't be hair and getting everything, making everything perfect and...
Yeah, I last night bought the Finishing Touch Flawless Women's Facial Hair Remover. It works great.
Oh.
But yeah, no, so far, like, no... Just for those that unsightly peach fuzz. And maybe, you know, and like, maybe I'm a bad example because here I am on a podcast just talking about my farts and facial hair. But I think that our own expectations are what holds us back. It's like we have this idea of what we think everyone else wants us to look like.
We meet Siddhartha?
Yeah, Samantha and Siddhartha.
Samantha and Siddhartha. Siddhartha played by Anthony DeSando. He's done a ton of stuff. They end up eating at a place called Tofu or Not Tofu. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's not a real place.
Right.
They probably made that up. And Samantha is clearly hitting on him, and he pretty quickly lets her know that he is practicing
tantric celibacy.
Should I just call it that? Should I say that's what I'm doing?
No, because he's he's still like I don't know. He's like doing like mantras and still getting to the point he was before, he says.
It's way too much work.
Yeah.
One of my favorite lines that our friend Annabelle and I quote quite frequently is,
"My God, why?" Or more importantly, why?
In this moment, I was just like, Samantha is not real. Like, it was the first, I mean, she's obviously always over the top, but she's, in this moment, she was just so, like, such a character for me. And she's in a windbreaker doing, like, sexy, like, not body rolls, but, like, these, like, really fluid movements at Siddhartha. She's like doing all this weird, I don't know, I was almost uncomfortable. I was like, why is he staying?
Carrie meets Charlotte for dinner.
All right. There is something that's very like restaurant about what I had a problem with this.
Okay, what's that?
No host brought them to that table.
Oh, yeah, they just kind of go sit down.
Sit down, and they don't have menus.
All right.
And it seemed to be, like, a relatively busy Manhattan restaurant, and they are just like, this looks good. They already had drinks, so they came from the bar. But, like, they're just sitting with no menus. And they never got to a point where a waiter and or waitress, wait person, came over to them, so I don't know how it ends up, but...
Yeah, I guess it is a weird moment. Charlotte is dating a guy named Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Who Carrie...
So Kevin, played by David Lee Russick, he has a little entrance. Mm-hmm. I remember that when they first see him, that he does an interesting little dance move. Kind of sort of cute. And yes, we established that Carrie has already slept with him.
Mm-hmm.
A few things here. We established that it was 3 years ago, which makes me wonder. I couldn't help but wonder. Did Carrie and Charlotte meet less than 3 years ago?
Oh. Well,
she says it wasn't serious, so maybe not.
And these seem like the type of women to me who are not like that are having sex with. It's obviously a frequent. I say obviously a lot, and I really make sure to hit that B. They are the women who like it. It's not a big deal to them, you know.
I guess so. It just seems interesting they wouldn't have discussed.
Maybe she doesn't share with Charlotte all of her sexual partners because there are certain things she's already kind of said, like, I can't share this with Charlotte.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I just sort of wondered about it.
Yeah.
Charlotte asked why they broke up.
You know, we're in different places, and I just, Carrie, we don't have time for diplomacy. Just tell me. He's a sex maniac.
Which makes Charlotte feel... good, because they haven't had sex yet, and so she feels that he's being very respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And lets the cab driver know that night...
There's only going to be one stop.
And...
Leave the cab driver out of this. He doesn't care.
So that night, Charlotte brings up, you know...
She's really in this, like, Fredericks of Hollywood bra. She's really trying to make her move. It had a lot of rhinestones on it.
We have a recurring theme... I think that all four of these women have a moment when they're ready to go.
Yeah.
And no one to go with.
No. All dressed up and no place to go.
Exactly. And we find out that he is not sexual anymore.
Because he's on Prozac.
Because he's on Prozac. These days, nothing gets me down. So I, think maybe he should lower his milligrams.
Mm-hmm.
Things should get you down.
Yeah. Prozac isn't like... It's not like something that just completely numbs you out to the world.
Okay. Because I don't know. And I sort of wondered about that. I was wondering if maybe in the late 90s they hadn't perfected Prozac yet.
No, I mean, as someone who took Prozac in the late 90s, I don't think that... I'm sure I felt a lot of anxiety.
Yeah. Okay. So this is sort of
for TV.
I mean, maybe someone should have upped my milligrams. I don't know, but.
But you, things should get you down. Like, you should have feelings.
Yes, I wrote down, Kevin is on Prozac, so apparently he is immune to everything.
Yeah, that seems like a bit much.
Which would have made high school a lot more easy for me.
But you should feel things.
I mean.
Anyone listening, if you're, I mean, I think you should feel things.
Yeah, you should always feel things.
You should feel sad sometimes.
Yeah. Or,
anyway, I remember actually really being upset about this when I first watched it, thinking, I don't know what I would, I think I would say, I need you to want to have sex with me.
Yeah, I think there's a, well, I mean, also with mental health in general, I think there's this this idea of, like, if you seek treatment for it, then you're just trying to, like, numb everything and get it away because some people just don't understand. And so in a way, I thought this was kind of like a bad moment for mental health, because if anyone watching this is sitting there being like contemplating going on a, you know, some sort of medication because they're having a hard time living their life, and they watch this, they're like, oh, well, no, I don't want to, like, be like Kevin.
Right. It's not all or nothing.
It's not all or nothing. And Sex and the City, they are not doctors.
They are. None of them are doctors. Is this our first blockbuster moment when he holds up the blockbuster?
Well, it's our second blockbuster.
Is it our second?
Yeah, because okay. Miranda already said that she's...
Got it. Yeah. But we see the blockbuster video that he wants to watch, and then we cut to the scene with Sam and Sid.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the very many awkward sexual encounter or non-sexual encounters.
Samantha and Siddhartha.
And Sam doesn't get it. Like that he doesn't. He's not going to have sex with her.
No. And Samantha. So they talk about that they are at the corner of Nirvana and West Third.
Yeah.
That's what they kind of, which is Siddhartha's apartment.
Got it.
And they're having, I'm assuming it's his apartment.
Yeah,
or else they found like a really interesting studio space. And they're having this very spiritual tantric moment. And what I love about it is the scene is like decorated with all of these tapestries and candles and like yogi music and all this stuff, and Samantha has added into her ensemble just like 4 braids in her hair.
Oh, I don't think I even noticed
yeah.
that.
Yeah, if you look at it, she's like, well, what can I do that'll really like get me, you know, dressed for the day? It's just like 4 random braids.
Add some braids.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants, yeah, once again, she doesn't get it. Like, he is not going to have sex.
She keeps trying to instigate. She keeps saying, you're hard.
Yeah.
You're still hard. You're going to definitely overdub my voice there, too. I'm getting good at this. I gotta figure it out.
And then do we go right to...
Well, she goes home and tries to, like, finish the job, I think, is what they're talking about. Like, laying in her bed, but she just doesn't.
And with Carrie, is this when...
Carrie goes to Big's house.
Yeah, Carrie goes... Okay, all that I wrote this scene, ugh.
Yeah, because...
I hate this scene so much.
Yeah,
it makes me so uncomfortable.
So she calls... She decides she's going to take matters into her own hands. She puts on that skirt that hugs in all the right places. And she goes to his house... And he's just trying to watch the fight.
It's so awkward and awful.
Yeah, and she's just like Carrie. Awkwardly jumping on him. And it's really strange. Like, it doesn't even feel like Carrie. And I know Carrie says she's not Carrie when she's around Big, but it doesn't even feel like the Carrie we've known around Big.
It's so uncomfortable.
It's almost comedic.
It's so uncomfortable, and you just want to, like, tell her to stop.
Yeah.
And he basically does tell her to stop, and she freaks
it's
out.
Like, Carrie,
and
stop! Yeah. Which you're also going to...
She leaves, and she has a moment where she says that she waits the 10 seconds for the...
Yeah.
I stood there and waited for the obligatory, he's coming to stop me, 10 seconds.
She gets home and he hasn't called. So I actually have a question. Do you think he should have stopped her or called her?
I think he... Well, number one, she had a lot of rouge on. So I think maybe he was concerned. But also, I don't know. I think that he maybe should have... called or stopped and just said, not like what, are you okay? Like,
right.
I think there's a way around it without making her feel self-conscious. Like, hey, what's going on? Why, you seem different, or you seem really, or is this about the other night because blah, blah, blah.
Right. Lack of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think he should have stopped her necessarily, but maybe he could have called and just said, hey, that was weird, or that was bizarre. What's up? Let's talk about this.
Right.
But I don't think that I think he was probably annoyed with her in this moment. I think that he was like, I just want to watch this fight, so go ahead and leave. I'm not going to be upset that you're not here because.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he should have said like, hey, this will be over in like 15 minutes and you have all my attention.
Right. Construction guy and Miranda. So yeah. This is our first. So Miranda's going. We have another blockbuster moment as Miranda goes to return her 5-hour documentary, whatever mm-hmm. she's watching, and we have a very aggressive construction guy
with like a shoelace around his head. I don't know why.
Hey, gorgeous! Why don't you quick drop this, huh?
Yeah, and she's like dressed in painter's pants, which is funny when we get to the next scene.
Yeah, so we cut to the next scene where Carrie is painting her kitchen. I do actually like all the fake painting because she's like. Mining, right. Painting. I mean, not that she should really be painting. I understand that she's acting, but it's some interesting painting miming we have.
And at this moment, Miranda's in overalls, and I'm like, oh, this is why she's wearing this, because she's going to go help Carrie paint. But no,
she just happened to be wearing those overalls.
Yeah.
They have their conversation. This might actually be more. This is where Carrie talks about how she's the together Carrie.
Mm-hmm. It's something about him. I mean, you should see me around him. I'm not like me. I'm like together Carrie. You know, I wear little outfits, you know, sexy Carrie and casual Carrie. Sometimes I catch myself actually posing. It's just, it's exhausting.
Well, then stop.
Which we were talking about earlier, which I get that when you're first dating someone that you want to be a certain aspect of who you are.
Right.
Miranda spots the neighbors.
Yeah.
And we get to what for this scene will be. We always have a scene where
Mr.
it's all the girls.
Mr. and Mrs. Get It On.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Get It On. This is our scene where all the girls are together. So the scene with them all together is them watching these neighbors have sex.
Eating Miranda's free gummies she got from Blockbuster for her many rentals.
And I wonder who those actors are. Because they
know.
Don't get a credit.
They don't get a credit.
They don't get listed anywhere. I would love to know the process by which you hire the actors who are going to mime sex, and that's it.
Perhaps, and I mean this in all honesty, they found people that are in, like, the adult entertainment
industry. I wonder. I really do wonder about that.
And we're just like, hey, we will pay you this much money. Like, just because they're comfortable doing that, yeah. You know. Because
it's intense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are naked.
Yeah.
And they are doing things. I mean, I'm sure they're, you know, miming right. certain things. But there are things that they're doing that I would, you know... not feel terribly comfortable with doing.
Right. Well, I've seen different like castings where it's extra work that, you know, this is going to be like highly sexual. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I know that there are a lot of different things that I didn't even realize, and I think it was reading a lot of things that they have different like barriers that you can wear.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
things
yeah.
like that. So, yeah, I wondered that too, but I'm sure there are people that are I don't know. I mean, what would probably be the best would be, like, to reach out to those people and say, hey, would you be interested in...
Yeah. We have construction guy again.
I got what you want! I got what you need!
Miranda's like, you know what?
I'm gonna go for it. This might break my streak.
Well, what I want is to get laid. What I need is to get laid. I need to get laid.
And I've done that before. Not
explain.
Like... No, like, space. Where people have said things that are, like, really vulgar to me on the street or, like, really tried to say something, and I just, like, turn it right back around at them. Like one time someone said something really disgusting to me, and I said, you know what? And I'm not going to say what they said, but you might get the idea. You know what? I've just worked a double. I went to the gym before. I'm really angry. All I want is chocolate. But sure, if you're really in the mood for it, like, let's go. And, like, you know, they're just like, whoa. Like, you know, sometimes, I don't know. It's just, I don't want to let these people win, I guess.
Yeah. And by turning it back, he backs down.
Yeah.
And in fact says that he's married.
Yeah.
Now, even just right there, though, I want his wife to know what he's doing at work.
I mean, that stuff happens all the time.
That's disturbing.
I know, but
I know
it does.
I know. I hear it and I see it and it's gross.
Yeah.
I don't think that, you know, those guys are probably listening. But if they are, you're gross. Don't do that.
Yeah. I'm sure those guys are really listening to the Sex in the City podcast right
now. Super into our podcast. Mm-hmm. We go back to yoga.
Mm-hmm. Where Samantha's the only one wearing color. Everyone else is in like an all white outfit.
Interesting.
And then I wrote, oh, wait, there's someone else wearing color at the yoga zone. We find out this place is called the yoga zone. And then she just looks at him and says, you're going to edit.
Well, she mouths it at first. And the first guy turns her down.
Yeah.
And then the second guy,
yeah,
facial hair guy.
Wanna fuck?
Yeah.
He's like, sure.
Super into it.
Yeah, super into it. I take yoga 3 to 4 times a week. I cannot tell you ever when there would be an appropriate moment to just look to someone and say that.
Well, Samantha is hardly ever appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
We have a weird close-up of Siddhartha where I don't think he's crying. I think he's sweating, but it's a weird like close-up of his eyes.
He seems like the type that might just be constantly crying.
Yeah, he's an interesting fellow. Mm-hmm. Charlotte tries to get the guy she's seeing into it.
All right, she says, well, are you ever not going to take it? And he just says, nope.
Yeah, he has, other scene where one of the girls is trying to make something happen and it's not working out. And he has the line.
Wouldn't you rather be with a guy who's kind and giving and not that interested in sex than an unstable, oversexed prick who only wants to get laid?
One of my favorite lines from one of my favorite movies, Postcards from the Edge.
How would you like to have Joan Crawford for a mother?
Oh,
or
please.
Lana Turner.
These are the options.
I think you headed pretty good.
You or Lana or
no,
Joan.
When I
those aren't the only two options.
Right, and also like, yeah, and back to like the whole mental health aspect of it, where I'm going to advocate for mental health right now. I just think that, you know, it's important that this guy obviously had issues and chose to take care of them. However, I think it was 1998. I was going to say, I think Sex and the City kind of missed the mark here, being like, I don't have feelings anymore.
Right, yeah. Once again, you should have feelings. And if anyone out there is not having feelings, consult your doctor. So Charlotte doesn't. So they're done. And then Big shows up at Carrie's, and we definitely find out this is the first time that he's ever been to her apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where you live. About time you invited me out.
I didn't invite you.
She just keeps, like, disparaging her place. Like, she's really... He's like, nice place, and she says all the things she doesn't like about it.
Floors need to be stripped, and the curtains are... I want to change a lot of it.
I feel like that's how most people are with every compliment, though. Like, yeah. If someone tells you, oh, I like your hair, I'm like, oh, yeah, because I washed it. You know, it's like, right. Just say thank you. And I also like that she says, why didn't you call? And he's like, why didn't you call?
Yeah, I'm so back and forth on moments like that, because on one hand, I get it.
But it was like that moment of where Big never has to answer the question.
Right. And that's my problem with it. Because I actually do get that sometimes when someone's like, you didn't call, I'm like, well, the phone goes both ways. But we're back to just Mr. Big always having the right answers without ever really answering anything. He's just smooth and like knows the thing to say.
Yeah. And then he also does. So throughout this whole episode, Carrie's been saying how she's two different Carrie's. And then when she talks about the apartment and how she's trying to do this and fix it and, like, giving all the excuses, he says, I like it the way it is. And that's kind of, in my mind, I took it as also, like, a nod to Carrie herself.
Yeah, I feel like it's his cue of saying, I like you the way that you are. I guess we don't know if he really knows who she is.
Mm-hmm. And then I said that Big is being, like, the dad who is about to ground you but eases into it. Because he's, like, talking about different things, but slowly bringing up the craziness that Carrie
right
did
by asking, you know, what that was, and she says that was me having a meltdown.
Right.
So we're getting to some honesty here, I guess, where they're kind of communicating with each other a bit, maybe not quite as honestly as they need to, but we're getting at it. And then the whole thing is kind of broken down by him noticing the neighbors.
Did you know that there's a couple humping outside of your window? Yeah. We can do better than that.
And then he kissed me. Odd how normal can sometimes feel so uncomfortable.
That's my whole life.
Normal in general feels uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's an interesting comment, though. Is she saying that she's uncomfortable in this moment?
I think she's saying, like, you know, it's that kind of whole, you have to step into the fear and all that things that, like, sometimes just being yourself and being normal can be uncomfortable. And maybe saying that, like, the fact that her and Big have not had sex every day might be his normal. And she says in the beginning, she says that normal is the halfway point between what you want and what you can get. So her relationship with Big, their sexual relationship, is that. It's the halfway point between what she wants and what she can get. And so maybe that she's saying here that normal can sometimes feel uncomfortable. So this whole episode was her living in the uncomfortability.
That was very deep.
Well, thank you.
I like it. That was a good analogy.
Thank you.
I like this episode. everyone, like all four of the girls go through something. They all four have pretty good storylines.
I like that we brought back Blockbuster.
We brought back R.I.P. Blockbuster. I was trying to figure out where that Blockbuster was. I think for a second I saw a sign that said Lexington, so that would be the east side.
I mean, they
side.
Were all over. When
they
I...
were all over. I remember there was one on like 90, like on Broadway near 93rd or 94th is the one that I used to go to.
When I moved here in 2008, there was a Blockbuster in my neighborhood. I remember I bought Liza with a Z from the bargain bin there.
I miss a Blockbuster.
Yeah, I remember there's a CVS there now. But yeah, I don't think... And when I went to visit my family in the Detroit area, there's plenty of family videos still. Oh. Like, how are those still in business?
I feel like I saw a Blockbuster not that long ago.
No, they're still in business. And a lot of those, like, if you don't have cable and you don't have the option to buy or rent on demand right away.
Right.
It's like the first place you can get a movie before it goes to HBO or Showtime. Mike has like every channel known to person.
I do have all the channels. It's my luxury.
It is luxury.
It's my shoes. So there you go. Good episode.
Good episode.
And we have one more this season.
Uh-oh. Then we're done.
And then we're
so,
done.
So yeah, we're coming to the end of season one. And I know we've been asking this a lot on our social media, but if you have any questions or comments or just want to say something that you don't think we covered, feel free to tweet at us at WCHBWpodcast on Twitter. You can email us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder@gmail.com. You can tweet at me at Evie Castle. You can tweet at Mike at Mikey Jensen. You can scream at us if you see us at TJ Maxx. just let us know if there's something that we have missed.
Yeah, I'm always curious to hear what other people think about moments in the show, because everyone kind of, you know, looks at things differently.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure no one else really got angry about Kevin's take on mental health.
I bet someone did.
Yeah, someone did. I don't know. I mean, I think though that's also like nowadays where I'm very open about like my anxiety and my OCD, because I think that it's not something to be ashamed of. And I think that other people who are dealing with it, like if they feel like someone else is, they're not gonna think they're so different. They're gonna be like, oh, there's a way I can manage my life, as opposed to like not being able to leave the house because I've checked if the lights are on 43 times,
right?
Which still happens sometimes, but I'm just saying that you're not alone. No,
but talk to your doctor.
I am not a doctor.
Talk to Elise.
I'm not. You can talk to me. I'm not a doctor.
All right. Well, we will be back next week with the finale of season one of Sex and the City. I'm going to let you do the whole thing. And I'm going to send their lawyers to you. Bye.
Stay tuned after the credits for some extra clips. You can subscribe to our new Patreon-only podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, Still Wondering, right now. For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWPodcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, take care of yourself and let's take care of each other. We'll be back next week with the season finale and a special bonus episode recapping the first season. We'd love your input for that one. So join us next week as we wrap up season one of Sex and the City. When Samantha asks him, why? Or more importantly, why? And yes, I will put her saying that instead of me saying that as well. But I do like that moment that we're going to have in this episode.
Did you just give them like a cute nickname?
Sam and Sid?
Yeah.
I like it.
They never talk about it.
They don't. I made that up.
I was looking. I was like, who's Sam and Sid? Well, I've seen different like castings where it's extra work that, you know, this is going to be like highly sexual, blah, blah, blah.
With those casting notices from James Franco. Oh, topical.
Topical, Mike.
It'll be in the outtakes.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I think that there, I'm sure if you, yeah, it's just, but whatever.
Well said. Well spoken.
Thank you. Oh, gosh.